is the day which the Lord has made. We will. And that's what God calls us to do. He says, rejoice in this day. Be glad in this day. Amen? Now we're going to get excited. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. It's in the New Testament. I'll be referencing a couple other scriptures, and really all I'll tell you to do is jot those down, or you'll be flipping trying to keep up with me, and I'm just going to read some brief verses there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we've read this, we've heard this, but what I think is important when we come together as a body of believers, every now and then we have to be reminded of some principles that God said, these are the things that I want you to live by. These are the things I want you to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16. I was just going to read 16 and 17, then 18, and I decided to read 16 through 22. Because I think they're all important. And it says, rejoice always. Remember, we just said, this day, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. He reminds us again, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. It doesn't say hold fast everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Don't abstain from most forms of evil except the ones you like. Abstain from every form of evil. When he tells us to do these things, we oftentimes forget to slow down and pray and be grateful. With that in mind, let's just bow our heads right now and take an opportunity to pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful. We are thankful for you and the life that you laid down for us. God, we cannot take that life for granted. Lord, we ask that you help us be aware of that sacrifice. Help us be aware of where we stand. Help us be aware of our shortcomings so that we can be transformed through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be thankful for the things we have rather than the things that we don't have and complaining about those. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. And I say that because we have so many choices. We have so many choices. Seeing the void and an opportunity where we can teach and we can grow others. Saying, God has given me a gift. Where is a hole that I can fill with that gift? Each one of us has a different gift that he's given us, right? Romans 12:6 tells us, just jot this down. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, then it says, let us use them. Rather than complaining about a need, have we tried to find where we can utilize our gift? Lord, there's a hole right there. Can I utilize my gift for that? God, I want to do different things for you. We have choices to celebrate what we have rather than complain about the things we do not have. I'm always touched when I eat lunch with Eric Ferguson and he prays for our food. And Eric almost always says, God, thank you for our provisions. And I think, wow. Man, that seems so simple. Yet we miss that. And I don't mean the prayer is simple. So simple to think, to be thankful for those things. And instead we complain about what we have or what we don't have. That simple prayer at lunch reminds me to try and be grateful for the things that he has provided and given us. I think about so many people that have so much less than we do. And it could be our neighbor. It could be a coworker. I'm not talking about third world countries. Now I am, but I'm not. I'm talking about in our own community. So many people doing with far less than we are. And we can find ourselves saying, God, why is this all I have? And I really think that God is, I agree. I really think God is saying, because you're not even grateful for that, why should I give you more? For you to whine and complain about more. We have opportunity to celebrate and be thankful for what we have. We have opportunity to use our gifts. Finding the good and embracing that rather than being consumed by the bad. There's an awful lot of bad things going on in the world. And I'm here to tell you today, as Christians, as believers in Christ, we are to stand up against those things, in spite of those things, and we are to proclaim that He is victorious over all those things. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He gave His life on that cross, a painful death, a death that He knew He had to go through and endure. But He did it because He knew 2,000 years later that you would need His death to help you through things. You would need His death to help you endure things. You would need His death to help you get through things. You see, He understood the pain. God understood the pain of losing a loved one. He understood the pain of conflict. He sent His Son in the middle of it. We have the choice to rest in peace rather than wrestle with stress and anxiety. Eric did a message several weeks ago, talked about finding that true rest. He said, come, take, and learn. For this is where you find true rest. In Philippians, I love the book of Philippians. Well, the more and more I study and read, I'm liking several books in here. But we just read this last Wednesday as Jan finished up her study on the 23rd Psalm. And in Philippians 4, verse 6 through 11, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And we skip that sometimes. We just let our request be known to God. God, help me through this. God, I'm sorry. I forgot to come before you with thanksgiving. God, I want to thank you, for what you've done in my life. And I'm grateful for that. And now, God, I need your help. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. And I thought, as we go through these different scenarios, God says, I don't want to just get you out of this situation. You see, I just don't want to fix you. God says, I want more than that. I can fix you, and you go on your way, and nothing has changed. The next time you run into it, you won't know how to get through it, and you're going to call on me, and I'm going to do my thing, and I'm going to fix you again. God says, I want more than that. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Transformation is what he wants. He says, do not be conformed to this world. It is so easy to fall into that rut. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God desires us to find transformation. We can come here each week and we can listen and we can quote and we can spout out scripture, but if we haven't allowed that scripture to penetrate our souls and our hearts and our minds and transform us, big deal. Big deal if we are not transformed. Give us true rest. We want God to give us true rest. And Eric read out of that a couple of weeks ago what I just said in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. And it says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And I'm not talking about the kind of rest you get when you slept for 18 hours. Usually that's not that restful anyway. You wake up and think, I'm still tired. But he gives you a different rest, a peaceful rest that brings peace over your body no matter what you're going through. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. He says, take it. Take it from me. Hook up with me. You see, we're called to proclaim the good news. And this is the good news. How much proclaiming have you done? Not with words, maybe even. How much proclaiming have you done with your actions? You think, uh-oh, my actions proclaim the good news? Our mission statement for prayer of faith. Some of you may think, we have a mission statement? Yes, we do. And I want us to think about it. And I want us to know it. And I want us to live it out. Our mission statement says we are to model Christ's love. Remember, if we have all these things and have not love, it's like a clanging cymbal, a banging drum. It's just noise. It's filler. It's coming to church week in and week out and quoting scripture and saying, but there's been no transformation in my life, Adam. Model Christ's love. And we do this through our words or through our actions or both. Now remember, the Bible says if you say it with your mouth but do something different, you missed it. You see, you can't have sweet water and bitter water from the same well. You're missing the transformation. You hit a transaction maybe part of it, but you didn't hit the relationship part of it. The second thing it says, faithfully communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, help each member. We didn't put down there, help some members. We said, help each member. Each member of Prayer of Faith. Discover and utilize their spiritual gifts. Discover and utilize your spiritual gifts. God says, I'm going to give these to you. We read it earlier. I'm going to give these gifts to you. And when I give them to you, according to my grace, you see, yours is going to be different than his. And yours is different than hers. And yours is different than hers. These gifts are different. But when they come together, they build up His kingdom. Proclaim the good news of the gospel. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Model Christ's love. Faithfully communicate the gospel. That means we can't misquote it and misuse it. And then help each member. Help each other out. Oh my Lord, I saw them on the ground struggling with their gift. They couldn't pick it up and carry it and utilize it properly. Anyone ever have a child in band? Anyone ever been in band? Go ahead, raise your hand. Child in band, been in band, yourself, whatever. Every one of those children, every one of you, when you picked up that instrument, could use it perfectly that first time out, right? Whew. There's some patience required in that. Every child that comes up when I'm practicing and wants to play piano comes over here and says, "Can I play?" And they're looking around and you're going, "That's magnificent." We do the same thing. New Christians sometimes sound like that. We misquote, we misuse, we take it out of context. I know some of you didn't think you went to an instrument and immediately started playing, right? But you have to have patience and you have to help and you have to have the right teacher to help them grow. But listen carefully. With all the teachers in the world, all that training, if you don't have the right student that says, "Let me practice what you've taught me," again, we've missed it. As students, and we're all students, by the way. We're lifelong students. All students. All students have to put into practice what the teacher gave them. Where's my son? My youngest son's up in the sound booth today. And when I taught him driving, I taught him a lesson I learned when I was 15 years old with my driving instructor. And I told some of you the other day in Bible study about this. I'm driving down the street, and my driving instructor said, "Switch lanes." And I glanced quickly in the mirror, turned the blinker on, and just changed lanes. He said, "Oh my God, what are you doing?" Always look over your shoulder. Always. You've got these blind spots. And I've never forgotten that lesson, and I cannot tell you how many accidents that's kept me out of. At the last minute, I think I'm the only one on the highway. It's like, "Oh, Lord, where'd they come from? Okay, I'm glad I looked before I changed lanes." Now, you can't, I did like that, but you can't change lanes while you're looking. It's too late then. My point being, when there's these good, valuable lessons, live them out and remember those and use those throughout your life. Model Christ's love, faithfully communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ, keep each member of prayer, faith, or help each member, I'm sorry, discover and utilize their spiritual gifts. Again, God wants to transform us. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. I was driving down the street the other day, and I've seen it before, and I saw it this season on a church sign that said, "Thanksgiving isn't a day or a season. It's a way of life." And as we think about being Christians that are grateful and thankful, I think it is every day. It's every time we come before the Lord, when we have a request, let me come before Him with thanksgiving in my heart. Now, there's only about a million different scriptures I could use to talk about thanksgiving in Psalm, in the book of Psalms, but I picked one because it's covered with thanksgiving in it. But I picked Psalm 9, verse 1 through 2, and it's very short and very simple, but has so many lessons in there. And it says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you, and I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." And that's good stuff right there. think if we were to live just those simple phrases, the first thing says, what ought we to do? Praise Him. The first thing we do, we praise Him. We sometimes use God like a parent and an upset child. Father, I didn't get. You promised me. Father, I don't have. My friends all have, but I don't have. I don't think this is just a child's game, by the way. Adults, we do the same thing. Oh, my Lord, did you see that house my friends have? My Lord, did you see that stuff in it? My gosh, did you see the cars parked in that garage? Did you see all their toys they have? Whew. They've got boats and ATVs and four-wheel dune buggies. They had a golf cart they can ride around on. They had a jet ski. Not just one, but two. They have an RV. Whatever it is. We play the same game as adults. They have and I don't. I worked hard. How'd they get it? I just see them kind of getting the stuff dropped in their lap. Congratulations. How lucky you were. Lucky. How blessed you were. So praise Him. But it says praise Him. And when you do it with what kind of a heart? Your whole heart. Praise Him. Then do it with your whole heart. And it says, I will tell of all your marvelous works. Tell others about Him. Remember a while back, we talked about, a while back meaning a couple years ago, we talked about recognize and meditate on God's wondrous works. And I reminded you all that His works are all around us and we miss it. Everyone look to your right. Everyone look to your left. All those people you just saw, those people are His wondrous works. Thank you. I was going to say, please no negative comments on that. Even this one, even that. No. We're all His wondrous works. Do you understand? All of us. Look outside. The snow falling, that's His wondrous works. The sun shining, that's His wondrous works. The rain falling down, that is His wondrous works. The desert, that is His wondrous works. The forest is His wondrous works. The yard, the homes. Everything is His wondrous works. Tell others about Him. Then tell them about all His marvelous works. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. And by the way, I want to tell you about His marvelous works. Oh yeah, what do you got? I'm one of His marvelous works. Don't be afraid to tell people that. I am one of His marvelous works. Remember Jesus when He met the woman at the well and she was talking about this Messiah guy. And Jesus said, man, the one you're seeking, the one you're talking about, I'm Him. I'm Him. When you talk about His wondrous works, tell people, I'm one of them. I am one of His wondrous works. And like a pile of clay, I didn't come out looking that great maybe. But He formed me and He molded me. And I mean our life. I don't mean the way you physically look. I'm talking about our life. I wasn't perfect, but He molded and formed me. And I allowed myself to be the clay that is in His hands. And I allowed Him to mold me. I'm one of His marvelous works. But it says also, I will be glad and rejoice in you. Be glad. Then tell your face. Be glad. And then rejoice with Him. Rejoice in Him. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it and be glad in Him. Rejoice in Him. But I really like this last one. And I will sing praises to Him. Sing praises. Now we had a lot of fun in those first two songs this morning. We needed a meet and greet just to take a rest, I think. But we had a lot of fun. And God says, you can have fun while praising me. Then other time he says, by the way, I need you to not worry about what anyone else is doing. I need you to not worry about how they're singing. I need you just to get in your moment with me, and I need you to worship me in your way. This church is open for you to worship Him in your way. And then verse 10 that I didn't read before, but I'll finish it up with this. It says, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. God has a promise for those who seek Him. And I'm not talking about those who run into Him. I was at church and I ran into God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those that come to church to seek Him and say, man, where is He? I hope I will find Him. Pastor Helen Crane did a message a while back. And she said, man, come with expectation to church and expect to find Him when you come here. Again, I'm not talking about coming here and thinking, maybe I'll see Him, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll run into Him. Talking about coming here, seeking Him. Those who seek Him will generally be here Wednesday evenings. Not everyone, I get that. They will generally be here on Sunday morning, Sunday school class, seeking Him. Why? Because they want a deeper relationship, not transaction. They want a deeper relationship with Him. And when you come, and again, I get not everyone can be here for different reasons, but let's not create excuses either. I get that. But when you come seeking Him, something happens. That transformation happens. It's not by accident. When we think about our role as Christians, I think about we're to go proclaim the gospel to others. When we went through the book of Acts in several verses, what should we tell people? What should we be preaching? And it said, repentance. Preach repentance for sins. And remember, the disciples always had a funny way when people were asking about Jesus Christ. They said, you remember the guy. He was the one you hung on a tree. Remember that guy? You placed him on a cross. You remember the guy. You see, you found some wood, fashioned it into a cross, and you guys nailed him to it. And they reminded him constantly. That's the guy we serve. Today, church, we are to be thankful and grateful. We are to proclaim the gospel. I told you when our founding pastor left, we looked at the vision statement and mission statement. Said, do we need to change or alter anything? No. No. To model Christ's love, faithfully communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ, and help each member in prayer, faith, discover and utilize their spiritual gifts. We made a definite decision that we will be a Bible teaching church. We will be a Bible preaching church. And now I want us to live it out. And I want us to go tell other people about it. When we get into the holiday season, we went here, there, and man, it was false advertising. Oh, come on, guys. I've had people tell me before in the retail world, you didn't have this, you ran out of it. You ruined my child's life because you ran out of a toy. I thought, oh my gosh, did that fall on me? Whew, I'm coming to your house. I'm going to set them straight on Christmas. Because it certainly isn't about that newfangled toy that isn't here. Oh, and by the way, the other 50,000 retailers that don't have it either, can you throw some blame their way? Because taking all that blame on my shoulders is a bit much. It's changing our thinking. It's allowing Him to transform us. Remember, we're the clay. He molds us. We talked in our Wednesday night Bible study several weeks ago. And I love it. Sabrina said, some of us are bean pots and some of us are flower vases. And I love that. We're different containers. And then Dwayne had a revelation. He said, man, when I started this thing, this journey, I thought we were all bean pots. So there's realization, but there's transformation when you realize those things. Because some of us are bean pots and some of us are flower vases. Each one of us is different. I want us as a church body to focus on His will for our life. God, we've been through this. We're dealing with this. We've lived through this. We've made it through that. How do you want me to use this? So that I can further you and your work. What is it you want me to do having gone through this? God says, man, you made it through the first mile. The second mile club, going the extra mile. That path, there's a lot less people on it, so it's a little clearer. You've endured the first mile. I want you to go the second mile. We've got some work to do because of what you've been through. By the way, I've got some people that you can help having been through that. Because now you know firsthand. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the freedom we have to meet here. Lord, I know there's churches that struggle to meet openly. There's Christians that struggle to meet openly or even meet in secret. But Lord, you've given us that freedom. Lord, I ask now that you transform our heart, not just out of some magic act that you do, but through a relationship that we create and we build with you. Lord, that you don't just fix us, but you transform us. Lord, that you would give us a heart that is grateful and thankful. That the hardened parts of our heart, Lord, you would soften those. You would transform that area. You would smooth that area out. You would grow us closer to you and closer to each other. Lord, I pray for those hurting in this church right now. We prayed earlier during worship, but I pray right now, Lord, for those hurting in this church that you would just be working in their lives right now to heal them, to bring peace to them, to bring healing in their body, but Lord, to bring transformation in their lives. Lord, help us be a church that models your love, that tells others about your love and your wonderful works. Lord, bless us as we go out this week and the upcoming weeks, Lord, that you would help us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. You would guide our steps. You would guide our words and our mouth and our tongue. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.